All right, so I'm getting all of this stuff together here. I got Lorene Gilbert on the other line here, and let me get the music going. So we got caught in a personal conversation just talking about stuff, and I'm like, oh, I've let the time run out. So today is Wednesday, and at the 8 o'clock hour on Wednesday, that means we get our WealthWise financial report, the WealthWise moment with Lorene Gilbert. We have her with us on the line right now. Lorene, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Ed. Great to be here, and Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year to you as well. It's great to have you back. And yeah, we just were on the phone chatting away for a second, and I'm like, right. Whoa, where's my love of money music? All right. So welcome back. Holidays, we haven't heard from you or spoken to you since before the holidays. Some stuff going on with you personally in the holidays, and allow me to just say we're all thinking about you and your family here. A COVID-19 thing happening with your family.
Yes. My stepmother just passed away of COVID, and my dad is in the hospital of COVID. And I think, you know, unfortunately, we're all at the point where we know people close to us who have been negatively impacted. And of course, the elderly, those with underlying conditions, are most at risk. And that's why everyone needs to be taking precautions so that those people who are vulnerable do not get sick. Because once you get behind that curve, it is really hard to get ahead of it. And that, unfortunately, is what happened to my stepmother and my dad fighting for his life right now. So, you know, I hope everybody is staying safe and taking precautions for everyone else's sake as well.
Okay. And you know, I told you this already, but not just me and my family, but everyone here, man, we're all behind you. We're all hoping for the best with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's one of those things where I've noticed it in my day-to-day life that if you don't know someone who has it, or you're just totally detached from it, you are one of those people that's less careful, that doesn't take it as seriously. And everybody in some chain, there's that seventh degree of separation. You know someone who's gotten it, or someone who's
right.
You know, someone who's in danger of it. So again, all our thoughts are with you, Lorene, and we really, appreciate your dedication for being here with us this morning. I'd like to start off by talking about the Georgia Senate elections last night, and the effect that they're having on the market, not just this morning, but the effect that you see that you'll see in the coming days on the market. What do you think of what effect is that going to have?
You know, I'll tell you, the expectations for the market for 2021 before this election were pretty strong, meaning, you know, if we look at GDP expectations, incredibly high, 4%, which is very high, and that was encouraging. With the Senate looking like there's going to be a shift from a Republican-led Senate to a split that could be broken by the vice president, that changes a few things as far as the economy and the markets. So what I would say we could expect, my expectation would be that you're going to see more appointments made out of the incoming administration that are more on the fringe. So far, all the appointments that we've seen to the cabinet, et cetera, have been Obama 2.0. Now what we're going to see, if this holds on the Senate election, I think you're going to see more of, you know, Bernie Sanders coming into the picture, Warren coming into the picture, and some of those other people that you haven't really heard about lately, which also means that more aggressive and progressive legislation could be passed, like a Green New Deal, like more state support. So all of that, as well as more mandates and more regulation.
Right.
So with all of that, that can hurt profitability for corporations.
Okay.
And so investors need to be aware of that. Now, having said all that, we're still in recovery mode. And if we can get the country on a reopening phase, then we continue with the expansion in the economy. What I will also say is, and what we've seen even this morning, as I was looking this morning, I think the trade of moving away from the what did well in 2020 with the pandemic, and now moving towards value investments and smaller and mid-sized companies. We've been talking about that kind of trade. I think that is going to continue to rally, given everything that I'm seeing.
Okay, so a couple of things, or what I'm gathering from what I just heard you say there. Yeah, there may be a change, and it might be a little more socially focused, which really it's not that bad a thing. I'm asking my friends on that side to, you know, take my hand. Let me walk you through this for a moment. So, but there's been the big fear of tax hikes, and investors seem to have been afraid that if this happened, there would be tax hikes. Is that a little overblown at this point with the current conditions that we're in, and knowing that economically we want to be responsible? Are tax hike fears, are they overblown?
I don't think they're overblown. I just don't know that it's going to be. I don't think that anybody thinks it's a good idea in 2021.
Right.
So given that hopefully there's reason there that it would not happen until 2022, which gives everybody a chance to prepare for it. And so that is the message, though. I do think that we're in for increased taxation. And the question is, you know, how soon? So we're trying to come out of a pandemic. So I would hope that they wouldn't even attempt that in 2021. But I don't think it's overblown. I think investors, corporations, individuals need to look at that seriously and plan ahead.
Okay. And with COVID, the only thing on our minds at this point, I figured here's a couple of questions that only you could answer for me. So back in early 2020, despite the outbreak that we knew about that was happening in China at the time, the possibility of a global pandemic wasn't really on investors' minds back then. Going forward, will investors pay any closer attention to events in places that normally wouldn't matter to us? And if they do, would that create any substantive change in the way we invest? In other words, are we looking at more cautious? Yeah.
That's a great question. I think we won't be blindsided again in the way that we were this time. And certainly it is a risk, you know, forever going forward, right? So I think that absolutely, just like we look at geopolitical risks around the world and investors do pay attention, for instance, what's going on in the Middle East and the price of oil, right? People look at that as an investment theme. Similarly, I think now, to your point, I think that looking at maybe, you know, any kind of potential virus that is new and unusual, investors will be taking a look at that.
Okay. All right. And kind of dovetailing off of that, we saw when the vaccines were in the end of last year, when they were being approved, the availability boosted the financial market optimism, and investors, they anticipate that vaccines are going to bring the coronavirus under control and usher in a return to business as usual by mid of this year. Now, my question is this. We need to vaccinate 175 million Americans by the end of summer in order to achieve a numerically successful herd immunity. So will investors keep a running tab on vaccination numbers through the first two quarters? And will the success of the market depend on how close we are to meeting those expectations?
Well, if we use that as a benchmark, Ed, as we know, December was a real abysmal failure. They just couldn't get it together yet. Now, I expect those numbers to start increasing on vaccinations and getting where they want them to be. But we know it was supposed to be 20 million by the end of the year, and that didn't happen. So if we were to look at what happened with the markets in December was a fabulous month for the markets. So I don't see that kind of correlation between the vaccinations and the markets per se. So I wouldn't say that. But if we use the 20 million and we could start getting that every month, we would still be short and shy of 175 million by June. So So we've got to, what we do know is we've got to ramp up that number. And I think the expectation, I think it's just going to take probably longer than the beginning of the summer before we really have that herd immunity.
So are you seeing a more cautious first two quarters?
I don't think so. Once again, what I'm saying is the markets are always ahead.
Right.
The markets always look forward. So right now the market's been looking forward. It'll be interesting to see, you know, with the Georgia Senate, as that plays out, a little bit of volatility probably as people kind of sort through what does this mean from an investment standpoint. And then once again, hopefully getting back on track of the markets looking forward, saying we are going to come out of this pandemic. We are going to get through it.
Okay. All right. And
so overall, I would say I have a optimistic and bullish mindset for 2021. And now specifically really looking at investment themes that we see for 2021 with a new administration in place.
I love hearing that. Okay. And Amazon and big tech, they're investing billions in housing. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's really interesting that, you know, you've heard now Facebook, Amazon today, Microsoft, all the big, and Google, all of them talking about taking money from the corporation and investing it in housing. And the reason is they have so many employees that frankly aren't really paid all that much. You know, the lower ranking employees aren't paid all that much, and having a hard time finding them a place to live, right? So it's interesting to see private corporations stepping up to do good for the community in which they're hiring people. And it's the same concept as, and I don't know, Ed, if you've ever visited the headquarters of any of these companies, but you walk into those companies. Let's take, for instance, Facebook, which I've been there, and, you know, they have all the food, you know, all the food you could want. They feed their employees. They have all these, you know, lounge areas. Everybody's casual. It looks like they just woke up, threw on a sweatshirt, and came to work. And now housing is the next step. And it is, in a sense, it's almost like a government kind of welfare, taking care of everything you need, but it's coming from your employer. Now, there's positives there and there's negatives there, right? From the positive standpoint, you know, they're trying to do good, right? Do good for their employees, do good for the community. So much so, though, that I think that this younger generation expects this somewhat of this entitlement of all my needs are going to be taken care of by my employer. I don't really have to do all that much, right? There's not this sense of I really need to do a lot because guess what? Everything is kind of taken care of for me in a sense. So, you know, there's pluses and minuses there, but my concern is, are we building up a generation of younger people that expect everything just to be done for them, given to them, without them really having to do a lot for it?
Right. And as you're saying that, I'm hearkening back to late 1940s, early 1950s Detroit, when the big car companies moved into Detroit. And then instead of providing housing, the city of Detroit and the communities had affordable housing nearby for employees to buy. And we developed a middle class that way. This smells a little different.
Yeah, it's different. I think it's an interesting, you know, I'm all about private sector more than having all our money, you know, government, you know, you give the money to the government in the form of taxes, and then you're supposed to get something back, right? We all hope that the money that we give to the government, whether it's local and state and federal, that somehow we get something back for it. But it's not the most efficient use of money either, right? Because then you've got bureaucracy.
Right.
If instead you can get private companies to do these good things, perhaps it's more efficient.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's interesting that they're doing it. I think it's it'll be a good case study to see how it all plays out. The other thing that Amazon mentioned today when they were announcing this investment is they're not expecting to make money on it. So they're not expecting that, but it'll be interesting to see if they actually do make money on it.
They will.
Right?
They will.
That's not a bad thing per se, right? A company, you know, they're a for-profit company. They should make money. Right. But the other thing I want to point out is, how hard is it if you're having everything kind of taken care of for you, how do you then decide, oh, hey, I'm going to go to another job? And of course, that's what employers want. They want to be able to keep their employees longer term.
Right.
They don't want the changeover. They don't want people to leave and to go to another job. So, you know, the more that they can do for them, you know, the more it ties the employee to stay.
Right. Now, you asked me if I'd ever been to a headquarters. I have a little story for you here. Back before COVID, I would do a once-a-year show at our local Google here in Orange County, the Google offices.
Okay.
So I'd go there, and they'd pay me to entertain by doing a one-hour comedy set for their employees. I've never seen anything like that. We played basketball. They really, really, really dialed us in. They not only pay very well, obviously, but they take such good care of their employees. And you're right. Everybody's like in sweatpants. It's very casual. lunches were very elaborate. So that's my one big tech experience. It used to be a once a year thing. Lorene Gilbert, I can't tell you how my heart is now. It aches for you today, and I can't thank you enough for being with us this morning. I feel as you're part of the show, and you're obviously been involved with the radio station for a long time, with the radio station, that you're a member of our family, and we're all thinking about you, and we will continue to keep you in our thoughts, and your family and your father as well.
Thank you so much, Ed. Thank you so much, and I wish everybody a happy new year, and let's get through this pandemic and to the other side.
All right, Lorene Gilbert, how can we find you, by the way, if we're looking for you?
Oh, well, yes, thank you. WealthwiseFinancial.com or 949-748-1177.
Thank you, Lorene. We'll talk to you again soon, and the very best.
Thank you. Thanks.
8:18 the time. That was your WealthWise moment. It's the Mornings with Ed show. Money, money, money.